Captain's Log, Stardate 3842.3. The Trekcast has returned to the Apocalypse Radio airwaves after a lengthy hiatus, just in time for Thanksgiving. And we thought, what better way to celebrate the holiday than with an awkward family reunion with Spock and his parents? I'm told that Spock hasn't spoken to his father in 18 years. I keep asking him about his daddy issues, but he continues to shoot me down with his usual eyebrow raise and glib remark about humans being stupid. I plan on getting to the bottom of this little family drama just as soon as I figure out what that spinny disc thing is floating outside my ship, mirroring our every move and rocking us back and forth with continued laser blasts. All of this while Dr. McCoy performs a dangerous surgical transfusion between Spock and his father. There's so many plot twists in this episode, you'll be shocked it's not a two-parter.
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Log, Stardate 3842.3. The Enterprise has been assigned to transport ambassadors of Federation planets to this vitally important council.
Mr. Spark, we'll leave orbit in 2 hours. Would you care to beam down and visit your parents?
Ambassador Sarek and his wife are my parents.
We favor admission.
You favor? Why? You call us thieves?
Devote yourself. Motivations of passion for gain.
My father is quite capable of killing.
Oh, go to him now, please.
I cannot.
Doctor, his heart stopped.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Apocalypse Radio Trekcast. It's been a while, but I must apologize. I've been stabbed by an Andorian, and we haven't been able to record for some time. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow... I was going so hard, and then I lost it. my fellow crewman, First Officer, Jackie.
Wife, attend. I was gonna also just poke fun at you for look, it's a diplomatic party. We've got our big weird bottles of alcohol flowing. Don't worry about it, Dave.
And my next officer, may I help you to some Willy Wonka inspired food at our summit here, Michael?
Logic. I'm sick to death of logic. You want to know how I feel about your logic?
That line reminded me an awful lot of one we've heard on the show before in The Next Generation. Rights. I'm sick and tired of hearing about rights.
Oh, I forgot about that. All right.
We're talking about season 2, episode 10, Journey to Babel. And not to lay my cards on the table like right off the bat, but is this secretly one of the best TOS episodes?
Not so secretly.
Yeah, I don't think it's secretly one of the
is
best.
Is this known as like one of the best ones?
It's well regarded. Like, okay. If you look at the in the Chattopedia and like the reception category, just to rattle some things off, TV Guide ranked it as number 5 out of all the episodes. The Sci-Fi Channel ranked it as like a top episode. The Hollywood Reporter rated it as the 15th best episode. Washington Post gave it 9th. Business Insider gave it 7th episode.
Saturn Awards. I could go on. It has multiple Golden Globes.
Well, look, everyone knows at the end of the day, Spock is one of the best characters of all time ever in the whole human canon of creation.
Yeah, and so everyone knows that, Jackie.
Of course, the best episodes are going to be Amok Time, which is all about Spock and Vulcans and Spock being horny and weird stuff, and Journey to Babel, which is like Spock's parents, his mixed race family,
and
his fucked up daddy and mommy issues.
This episode is written by, it's a DC Fontana joint. Who's one of the best writers of the show and also wrote on The Next Generation.
Well, this episode is like a masterclass in acting, particularly from Leonard Nimoy and Mark Lenard as Sarek, but also I think a masterclass in writing. I was noting like the stakes just keep going up throughout this episode. Like there's stuff happening. There have been Trek episodes. Like we mainly focus on the good ones, but there are many Trek episodes where you're just like, holy shit, I am really filling this 50-minute runtime.
Yeah.
But not like this one. This one flies by.
TV back in the day, you had a lot of time to kill. There were only three channels. So.
And the commercials weren't the same.
Yeah.
Arguably, I think there's too much going on in this episode by the end
really?
Of it. Like, this stuff just keeps, like you said, stuff just kind of keeps piling on and on. I mean, we'll get to it, but by kind of the very end of it, It is kind of a lot all at once.
Damn it, Jim. Quit sinking the ship. I'm trying to do a surgery down here.
Trying to unite father and son through a surgery.
Mike, this was your pick. Tell us about the goings-on on our journey to Babel.
Yeah, so we're getting a conference together, which is, I feel like, the planet Babel, right? But very thematic, like, you know, all the cultures together.
We're
like
trying to communicate.
Babel.
We're bringing together the pig men, the blue men, the gold men, all the men.
They are all men, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's still TOS, so.
So you're... Is this the first time... Like, so what they're all together for is they're going to potentially admit this new... admit a civilization to the Federation. Which is, I think, the first time we see this kind of stuff going on. Like, because this is only season two.
Yeah, well, and this kind of, diplomacy instead of this, just, like, straight...
They're wearing their diplomat uniforms.
They're in their fancy dress. It's not just about space cowboys. Although we get a little bit of that, too. But...
Well, as long as I don't have to wear a skirt, Jim. Leave that next generation.
McCoy, it's called a scant. Wait, isn't it? It's a scant, right?
I'm too embarrassed about my skinny legs, Jim.
And, like, so as part of this delegation, they're going to have the Vulcan ambassador come to the ship. And
Sarek famously, I feel like, continuing into the Next Generation, like a famed diplomat. He's very good at his job because he's very logical.
But we get a little bit of, well, no, we get a lot of bit of cringe here when Sarek first arrives.
Oh, God.
When Sarek first shows up, it's so funny. Like,
I forgot this happens in the first 2 minutes. Like,
it's just like what Kirk is like. Oh, Spock, don't you want to go down and see your dad?
Because we're picking up Sarek and his wife from the planet Vulcan.
Within 30 seconds of his arrival, like Sarek's like, can I get, Mr. Spock, can I get someone else
so
to show
us?
So
can he not be here? Can he not be here? And then, Kirk's like, well, Spock, do you want to go see your parents? And Mr. Spock, of course, says... Captain, these are my parents.
Bam, bam, bam.
You really, I mean, it's very funny. Just the, in context of like, you didn't see this prudent to mention Spock, but also like,
yeah,
Jim, it's a Vulcan married to a human. Do you think there are that many of those
I had that
around?
He's like, how is that not on record?
You know that, yeah, exactly. That would be in Spock's file.
Yeah.
And you know that. that he has a human mother.
So. I was kind of thinking the same thing. Friends. Like, how do you not know Spock's dad is like this famous ambassador?
But I also like that as just a kind of character note of like, Spock is not sharing shit. Like, he is, he's like, you can drag that out of, talking about my dad? No, I'm not doing that.
Is this the first time it can't be, but is this the first time we see the Vulcan salute? Live long
no, that is in Amok Time when we, down at the planet Vulcan, and that's the first time that's the first time we see Spock like interacting with any other Vulcans.
Right.
Okay. And that's when they invented the little
But Sarek will not give the salute to his own son.
God.
What's the opposite of the live long and prosper?
It's just an upside down of like an inverted cross or something.
Die now, poor. Or something.
Sarek, please, no gang signs. No flashing any gang signs on the ship.
Amanda's just like, Sarek, you said you weren't going to flash the gang sign to tell our son to kill himself.
I can't help it. He joined Starfleet. It sickens me.
You know it pisses me off. I mean, no, it doesn't because I am logical.
Mark Leonard, who's playing Sarek, he is, I also wanted to point out.
We saw him last time on Balance of Terror.
He was a Romulan before.
Yeah.
He's 7 years older than Leonard Nimoy.
You know, dad age. that is very refreshing because normally it's the opposite where it's like, here's the mom character. She's 29.
So what's the reason for this bad blood, Mike? Why does Sarek hate his son? Well, that's a human emotion. Why is he indifferent towards
human
his
emotion?
Son?
Right. He wouldn't hate his son because
I don't think about you at all.
Emotions are under control. Anger is not an emotion, Dave.
No. Neither is resentment. Neither is none of that.
I mean, is this when we find out why? I thought it was later.
We find out like after they take their tour. Basically, yeah. She's like, "Yeah, he wanted him to join the Vulcan Science Academy."
Yeah, it's because he went to Starfleet. It's because he ran away from home and instead of going to Daddy's school.
Yeah, because he rejected his father.
18 years they haven't been talking.
Oh, you're too good for the Vulcan Science Academy, huh? La di da.
I had to bust my ass to get you inside there. I had to do a whole Flashdance-esque audition just to get you in the door, son.
You know that they are racist against you for being half-human, and yet they were still going to let your grody little self
in. Do you know how
in.
Much Vulcan golf I had to play mingling with the admission board? I hate Vulcan golf.
That's what's interesting about this episode, and I think, again, why DC Fontana is a Trek legend, because I feel like, unlike so many other episodes, we actually get into character backstory here. I feel like so often, like, all we get is, like, surface-level shit, but this actually digs in.
So what I saw from this, like, DC Fontana, like, originated this kind of with that in mind. Like, basically, she was like, we have all these ideas about Spock that have been thrown out there, like, half-human, like, dad is an ambassador, I think it maybe even thrown out, but she wanted to have an episode where all of these kind of are come to bear, and like let's explore all these things real quick.
Oh, queen!
Well, and we get like genuinely, like, just that scene when she's talking, when Spock's mother is,
Amanda Grayson.
Amanda is talking to Kirk. She's just like, the boys, they would torment him for being half human. And like, he came home and he would be clutching his giant teddy bear that was alive.
It had giant teeth.
With giant teeth.
Spock, I've always suspected that you were a little more human than you let on. Mrs. Sarek, I know about the rigorous training of the Vulcan youth, but tell me, did he ever run and play like the human children? Even in secret.
Well, he did have a pet salat he was very fond of.
Salat?
It's sort of a fat teddy bear.
A teddy bear?
I do love this episode. I love anything with Spock. I mean, I'm a Spock girly, but that, yeah, his human mother is here, and she's like, yeah, I've lived on Vulcan and in the culture for, like, decades now, but, like, I'm a human being. I'm going to tell you what's going on. It's this, that, and the third. He's upset about this, obviously, and my husband's upset about this, and it's like, they won't say it, but I'll say it.
And we do get like there's a moment that made me laugh, like Sarek classic deflection. Mm-hmm. Like there's a moment at the like diplomatic dinner or whatever, and he's just like, "I'm sorry," like never wanting to admit it's him. He's like, mm-hmm. "Sorry, Captain, my wife has had a rather long day. I think we should turn it." It's like bullshit.
Yeah, is that when he's having his first like space heart attack?
Oh yeah, because he is having some low key space heart attacks that he won't tell anyone about, not even his wife.
I feel like this is a recurring thing with Sarek, where like
he's always getting sick.
In TNG, isn't there an episode where he's like,
yeah, he's getting like space dementia. Crying.
Yeah, he's getting like Vulcan dementia, where his like emotions are coming to board.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I forget if the shows get into this. I did recently read one of the like 1,000 Star Trek novelizations. One called Spock's World, and it's not just about Spock the character, but of like the world of Vulcan. It gets into like a lot of like history and blah blah blah. It's really interesting. I do recommend it.
Welcome to Spock World.
Could one describe it as lore?
Yes, it's very yes. But there's a lot. We get into a lot with just Sarek, the character, and like he's lived like a very long life. I mean, that's true for a lot of Star Trek stuff, is like, oh, you'll be like 124. But so like Sarek is like, he already like lived a long time before he became like a diplomat, and he got to that point through like he had like a talent for languages, so he was like doing stuff with a universal translator, and that's how he met Amanda, because she was also like working on that project, and that's how they he was like living on Earth as an ambassador for like a long time, and then he starts this romance with a human, and then they like eventually decide of like, what if we had a kid, and Spock is like a very special test tube baby, but that he was, you know, they chose to do that, to have a child of two worlds. Anyway,
but it was logical, totally logical.
It was totally logical, but it gets into it, like a characterization that I do really like of Sarek, who is like very Vulcan, but also has a enough of like kind of a sense of humor and a warmth that like humans do fuck with that, and so he's very good at his job as the ambassador to Earth, but he's also like, you know, flawless in his arguments and you know, diplomacy and blah 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 blah.
You get a sense that being around humans for so long is kind of rubbed off on him a little bit.
Exactly. It is very funny too. Speaking of TNG, in the episode where he's like, we see him a couple times in TNG, and he is married to a different
human,
woman, because Amanda has passed away at that point. But it is very much like, you know, that everyone, not just Vulcans, but everyone is like, yeah, Sarek's got a type. yeah, he's got a type.
Vulcans are like talking about Sarek, like, huh. Another human.
Wow, another human woman. Oh, interesting.
He seems to flash that two-fingered love salute a lot.
Oh yeah, he and Amanda are just constantly like Vulcan making out in front of everyone. And it's like, okay, dude, all right. It's a wonder you don't have more half-human kids running around. But, you know, Spock's a handful. I get it.
So that's kind of the main thing about this episode, is this rift between Spock and his dad. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of shit happens, which really brings that to the forefront and causes them to have to confront
have a blood transfusion.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to put my my half human blood in you, but don't worry, we'll try our best to filter it out, Dad. But why does that happen? Why? So Sarek's got a heart problem. What other shit's going on in this episode, Mike? What's that weird spinning disc in space?
So this is where, like,
what's
I said,
that pig
I
man?
Feel like there starts to be a little too much going on. So they're having the ambassadors like meeting and, you know, fancy.
Well, first it's like a cocktail party.
Right. Well,
with Willy Wonka food on display.
Yeah, Willy Wonka food and really skinny bottles of colorful
liquids.
They're
dropping big colored marshmallows into glasses of wine is what it looks like is going on. So that's
how's
going
your
on.
How's fizzy lifting drink, Captain? it's very good.
And they're going to decide, like, who's going to be, you know, if they're going to admit this planet, admit this culture. But in the meantime, also, so you got this box, parents, you got the ambassador thing. Also, on the bridge, they see a spinny thing off in the distance. And it's it's given sus
vibes. It's kind of weird.
There's something out there that's like, huh, this is a weird thing.
They're getting like blips of like some sort of transmission, but there's nothing being said. And what's
like,
that
this
about?
Shouldn't be happening. And then people start... Well, eventually people start dying, like on the ship.
But starting first, they just start like fighting and like picking fights and stuff like that.
Hey, Sarek, how are you voting? I don't want to wait till the end. Tell me now.
It's so funny that just how shitty that costume looks. The pig man.
But it's appreciated that they this is out of all the Trek episodes. Like, it seems like this one must have had a bigger budget because we actually get some aliens in this.
So I was reading about that they it didn't really have a bigger budget, but what they did is, like, if you notice in this episode, they don't go anywhere. So that instead of spending any money on sets, they just spent it all in these incredibly elaborate, detailed costumes of let's put some antennas on a guy and cover someone in gold dust.
The Andorians, who are the blue people with the antennae, and that alien will come up throughout Trek, you know, franchises. But it's so funny because you literally see like where they stopped applying the blue paint on the guy's neck.
I also feel like the outfit itself came from like a medieval times production.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Like it's very like Robin Hood.
They were raiding the Paramount lot for everything they could find. They were like, here's a chainmail-ish kind of thing. Here's some headband antennae and we can paint that blue. I don't know. We do have a big old thing of gold paint back here. Is that anything?
But Pigman gets killed. It's one of a few comedy cuts in this episode. Like, you get them, I forget exactly what's said, but we cut to this guy, like, upside down with his neck broken. They find him. It's just like, it's a comedic cut later on in the episode. And then right after that, we cut to shirtless Kirk. Like, what is it?
Huh? Okay, wait. There's a lot going on here. Like, to go back to the body, is this when we see him? He's just like stuffed in the wall.
No, he's like hanging out of a Jeffrey's tube.
So he got his neck broken, and then the guy who we find out later is not an Andorian, but a spy with a plastic antenna.
You guys really should have checked that.
I guess he just stuffed him up there. He hung him like Predator or something.
Yeah, and is this where kind of fucked up?
Is this the one who's dead? But like, we don't know.
Well, he's dead by a broken neck, and they're like, who could have done this
right,
so expertly?
Only a sort of, it was a Vulcan murder technique.
Yeah, yeah.
So hot off the heels of the kind of confrontation with Sarek, it's a little sus that this guy winds up dead.
And
what
Sarek
were you doing,
has...
Sarek? I was having my private heart attacks.
Yeah.
Now back to shirtless Kirk.
Yes?
Do you think he was like sucking in?
Yes. We Michael and I talked about this, but of like when we see at the beginning of the episode the core three walking down the hallway in their dress uniforms and just, you know, Nimoy and DeForest Kelly, like, are both naturally so, like, slim, and then
they
poor.
Might be two of the skinniest men who have ever lived.
Just so, they're beanpoles, and then, you know, Shatner in the middle, we love to make jokes about, like, oh, he's strapped into his girdle and everything, but it's like, he just is barrel-chested, and like he's standing next to these two super thin dudes.
I will say, when he was shirtless, I was impressed.
It looks good.
I thought it was pretty good. What do you think, Dave? How did this play for you?
He's looking good, like especially at the end when he's on, after he gets, so later on in the episode, again, the stakes keep going up. We get another comedy cut where it's like a kind of a quiet, like talky scene. Cut to Shatner having a brawl with
yes!
an Andorian.
Yes, that this is like the most like jarring. I was like wondering, like, did I miss something? Like,
yes, it has that vibe. Like,
yeah, because it does. Like, people are talking, and meanwhile, it just cuts to like a fight in progress with Kirk.
Kirk's doing like his little double punch thing, and like flipping off a wall, and he gets
stabbed
so funny.
in the liver.
It's a long fight actually with like one take. I was actually. As silly as it was, I was like kind of impressed. I was like, "Wow, they're like rolling around here. Like this is fun,
John Wick,
you know,
over here.
Flipping him around. Like he gets stabbed in the lung.
Yeah,
that's a pretty bad place to get stabbed.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Basically, it's like he's having this fight with the Andorian, who's, you know, oh, this must be the guy who's killing people, mm-hmm. I guess.
They also have been tracking like this weird signal that
the call is coming from inside the ship.
Right, the spinny thing that was sus that we talked about has been calling, presumably this Andorian guy. So Kirk is like mortally wounded from this fight, and he's like able to alert the intercom, like, "Hey guys, I just got stabbed.
I'm doing bad."
So they go to Kirk is now out of commission. Which means someone has to step up for temporary command of the ship, and that someone...
He's the first officer.
First Officer Spock in temporary command.
Acting captain, where...
Acting captain.
But before this this occurred, where Spock has to be acting captain, we've got Sarek's space heart attacks and his failing health, which he told not even his wife about. And a solution is a blood transfusion from blah 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 blah, which Spock is willing to do, even though Sarek does not want that blood. But once Spock is now acting captain, he's like, "Well, I can't do that now because I gotta, you know, be the captain."
Sucks to suck, Dad.
Your father is much worse. There's no longer a choice. I have to operate immediately. We can begin as soon as you're prepared.
No, Doctor.
What?
My first responsibility is to the ship. Our passenger safety is by Starfleet order of first importance. We are being followed by an alien, possibly hostile vessel. I cannot relinquish command under these circumstances.
You can turn command over to Scotty.
What grounds, Doctor? Command requirements do not recognize personal privilege. I'll be in the brig interrogating the Andorian.
So it's like...
Get better blood,
so again,
I guess.
A lot going on. We have like... Sarek's dad is having...
Spock's dad.
He's having the space heart attacks, right?
Yes.
Spock's dad, Sarek, is having the space heart attacks. Kirk is mortally wounded. So they're like both like hanging out together.
There's an imposter aboard.
Yeah, there's an imposter aboard.
The call is coming from inside the ship.
Spock is now like the acting captain, but
All right, you just hit on something.
He doesn't get the transplant.
Yeah, but Spock, and you just hit on something kind of big in this episode. So basically, Spock's just like immediately like Amanda, Spock's mom, and I think Dr. McCoy are like, "Well, he needs this transfusion. Like, just give the command to Scotty." And Spock is like, "Scotty, like this is not a usual situation that Scotty could handle. Okay,
yeah.
We got a bunch of diplomats on board. If this shit goes south, like we could risk a war." But it's just I thought this was such an indictment on Scotty's command prowess.
He's like,
floated multiple times, like, "Just give command to Scotty. Like, what the hell? You need to do this transfusion." And he's just like, "No."
Spock's like, "No, this is not Scotty level, okay? No. No."
And we don't even see Scotty in this episode, which I thought was unusual.
He's somewhere in engineering just being like, "Now why am I in it? Come on."
Like, I imagine it's like Spock is just like, "If that man is not either drunk off some green liquid, he's off killing a sex worker and then blaming it on Jack the Ripper." Like, he can't
be trusted. I do not want that man in charge. He's like, "Mr. Scott and I are not friendly."
But basically Spock's just is like, this is above Scotty level. I gotta command this shit.
It's above his pay grade. Thank you very much.
Above his pay grade.
I'm giving her all she got.
Yeah, that's nice. I love this happens, I feel like, fairly often in TOS where Spock has to step up to be acting captain for whatever reason, and then he's not good at it. Like, he does not do well as captain.
Well, it's so funny that the solution, like, Kirk kind of comes to, and he's like, oh, I've been stabbed in the lung. But so his solution is like, I'll just pretend to be okay, and then as soon as Spock just fucks off, I'll give command to Scotty, and there's nothing Spock can do about it at that point.
Yeah.
But doesn't even happen, because, like, the spinny ship thing comes and starts shooting at him. And I love it, too, because it's like, oh, great, Scotty's going to get command of the vessel.
No, we're good. Yeah, and then Kirk is like actively like sweating and about to pass out, and he's just like, I got it.
That's one thing. It's almost like that could have been. I mean, I know, like you were saying, there's too much going on in this episode, but they could have like leaned into that a bit more. Like, oh, like a ticking clock. You know what I mean? Like, oh, like Kirk's like he's dwindling. You know, while during the situation, but really he's just a little sweaty and he's hunched forward. That's it.
He just seems uncomfortable.
Like, they could have upped the stakes a little bit. Like, they're literally, because, like, at one point...
It does, the way he's playing it, it feels less like he was stabbed in the lung and more like he has diarrhea.
Yeah, he's...
yes!
He had some bad shrimp at the Willy Wonka party.
There could have been a really cool moment, because earlier on, McCoy's just like, you get up again, Jim, you're going to start bleeding internally. Like, there could have been a cool moment where there could have been, like, a patch of blood on the side of his uniform as he's leaning in his chair, you know, to up the stakes.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been maybe a little grisly. Yeah.
That's but too scary for prime time.
But we see blood in this episode.
We do. A little bit.
When he gets stabbed, he holds his hand up like, oh my God,
there's ketchup
on network television. This is crazy.
This is crazy on prime time.
Oh my God.
I think it would have been better if he was poisoned and he was just shitting his pants. And that's what was going on. Like,
that's not very...
Jim, you can't stand up again, Jim.
I shouldn't have tried that experimental gobstopper.
That is not very dignified for our captain.
No, it's not.
But Kirk immediately realizes, like, they're basically like, is it that they're copying their moves? Like, this ship is like copying what they're doing?
Yeah, where they're being like shadowed in such a way where it's like it would only make sense that someone was on the inside, or and then they track the signals or something like that. I'll be honest, I was mostly paying attention to Amanda's fabulous outfits. She's wearing for I feel like the latter half of the episode this like pink feathered like caftan. It's so fabulous.
I liked her outfit with the collar that was so big.
Oh,
it was basically above her face.
Oh yeah, and she's got, because she has like a giant, you know, like a bouffant hairdo, and the collar is like almost as tall
if
as
she
the
didn't
hairdo.
Have the beehive hairdo, the collar would have been above her, like you wouldn't
this
see
is called
her
the
head.
Vulcan lampshade collar.
It's very fashionable. Yeah, she looked amazing. I loved it.
It's funny how many outfit changes she has in such a short amount of time, too. Like, she goes through, like, four outfits in, like, the span of the first, like, two acts.
It's great.
It's logical.
It's only logical to have a lot of really cool outfits with you. I mean, what can I say?
Yeah, so during this scene when the ship's getting fired upon, McCoy's trying to do the surgery, and the ship's getting batted around and stuff, and there's a moment where Spock's just like, hey, wait a minute, I figured out the whole story. He's like, go to sleep, Spock, go to sleep.
Breathe in this ether.
So basically, but it doesn't matter, because Kirk figures out, like, okay, like, we'll just turn off all the power. Sucks to suck in all the ships and all the parts of the ship that have no power or life support, for that matter. That's a question I had. If you shut off all the power, are those people going to die? But anyway, it doesn't matter. They shut the power off. They pretend to be like dead, and then they lock phasers and blow up.
I think the life support is like, it's like when you put a computer to sleep mode, you know, there's still like some little things going on.
There's still some fans whirring,
like,
you know.
Okay, I took it literally, like, kill the power and the left side of the ship. Okay, now the right.
Captain, right. Everyone is dead.
Well, immediately everyone dies. So
it's just that usually I'm so used to Next Generation when Picard says something like that. He's like, shut down all systems except life support. You know what I mean?
Well, isn't the Next Generation ship like a lot bigger? Like I get the feeling like in the Next Generation ship, there's like apartments basically on the ship.
Well, yeah, for all the families.
But I feel like in this one, there is not that. Like they're not, the families aren't on board.
Yeah.
This ship, and
they,
I don't.
They
think.
Don't even have, you know, the the. Oh my God! Why is it the word is
carpet? No. Are you thinking of the word carpet?
The
holodeck.
The holodeck. How could I forget the word for holodeck? And that takes up a lot.
The holodeck hadn't been invented yet.
I know exactly. That takes up a lot of room.
Well, I, you know, to speak to that, like we've talked many times on the show that the Enterprise D. Just is like the absolute comfort, like a luxury liner.
That's the Next Generation ship, right?
Yeah, that's the Enterprise in the Next Generation. But I did have the thought watching this when Kirk is taking Sarek and company on the tour of the Enterprise. It is such the opposite of the Enterprise D. It is cramped. It is very utilitarian.
It's more like a ship. It's like a ship.
Yeah, I will say that about the original Enterprise. It feels more like a ship, like a military vessel.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
designed for comfort.
It's not the worst. Like, it's not a submarine or anything, but it's no. It's not. It's Spartan. You know, it gets the job done.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't think anyone is like luxuriating.
A lot of this has to do with the low budget of the show, but
yeah.
Anyway. So the Andorian spy, well, he's not an Andorian. As we said, one of his little fake antenna falls off during a tussle with some of the security officers. They find out he's the guy. And it's funny, too, because, like, so the spy ship gets destroyed. They self-destruct. And then he, I guess, took a poison pill beforehand.
This is so funny. This might be my favorite, like, part of the episode.
Because he's Captain, like, I took a poison pill. I'm going to die in 10 minutes.
Lieutenant, relay to Starfleet Command. Tell them we have a prisoner.
Aye, sir.
Only temporarily, Captain. See, I had orders to self-destruct, too. Slow poison. Quite painless, actually, but there's no known antidote. I anticipate another 10 minutes of
life. Take him to sickbay.
Calculated.
Oops, wait a minute. I think I'm gonna die now, actually.
Oh, fuck.
Oh god, it turns out dying sucks. Oh, this was a mistake.
Oh my god.
This whole thing is really weird for me because it's sort of like it's like played like there's gonna be a twist or something, but it's like, oh, the bad guy is actually the bad guy.
It was the 60s. We hadn't figured out twists yet.
Like, we already know this guy sucks. He's stabbed the captain. He's in the brig. Yeah. Of course he's a spy. Like, who? Like,
don't worry about it. Back to Spock and his dad.
Yeah.
Well, their plan. So it turns out their whole plan was it was the Orions, as Spock deduces. And their plan was to get like a war going so that the Orions.
OK,
could
yeah. I mean, I guess the twist is like it's not the Andorians trying to screw
it. It's a bigger picture.
The Andorians weren't part of it. He was trying to false flag the Andorians.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that they can get a war going. And then the Orions, who this guy, this spy represented, could supply arms to like both and get rich, basically.
Yeah. And the Orions are the pig people, right?
No, those are the Tellurides.
Oh, okay, my bad. Yeah, don't mean to say they all look the same or anything.
Jesus.
You are not invited to the next Telluride Film Festival.
No.
Oh, are you guys the pig people? What?
I can't believe you're still using that word. Said that. God. The pig people.
So
wow.
I do. Have we kind of shouted out the surgery while the ship is like rocking back and forth? Like that's a pretty fun like
Jim.
Fun, very TOS vibe. You know where it feels very like military kind of thing. You know, like oh we're trying to do this medical procedure while we're getting bombed or whatever. That's pretty fun. Like that. I like that.
Sorry, Sarek. I may have dropped my watch in your spleen while I was working on you.
I really shouldn't have been wearing that during surgery. Sorry.
And then I sewed it up. Sorry.
Do we skip
guess
over?
You're on Federation time now.
Do we skip over Spock's mom slapping Spock?
Oh, we did. Because that's when Spock has agreed to do the transfusion, but then the circumstances, you know, he's acting captain, so he's like, no, can't. And his mom is just like, God fucking damn it. Like, I won't you let realize you kill my husband.
The next one in line is Scotty.
Like, mother, you don't understand. This guy, he sucks.
If he's not drunk off his ass, he's perving out on the ship itself.
You don't want him.
I kind of like this exchange. Like, I kind of like some of the writing. Like, there's, you know, because Spock is like, well, it's classic Spock. Like, it's like, well, yeah, I could save my dad, but
I have to save the ship.
Yeah, and she's like,
hundreds of people depend on me, and there could be a war.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, Amanda's like, anyone could do it or whatever or something, like, you know. And but Spock is like, this isn't regular times. Like, and he kind of says like, there's too much going on in this episode because we have the meeting, we have the weird spinny ship thing, we have the guy in the brig.
Well, and it's the classic. I mean, this Spock comes back to this time and again of the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he stands by that, even though all of the humans in his life are like, no, don't.
And then his mom just like slaps him and is like, well, you, goddamn it, Spock, get it together.
Yeah. Even the door of this room is against Spock, because like, she leaves and then it closes and he walks right up to the door, puts his hand on it, and it doesn't open. I thought that was unusual. It's like the door knew, like,
the door was like, hey, give her some time,
give her some space, Spock.
Yeah. Spock always on the outside looking in. Oh, a child of two worlds.
But you know, Spock and Sarek kind of reconcile a little bit. I mean, it's not even like a they have a farewell scene. It's basically they bond over like mom and her silly emotions. Am I right?
The thing that confused me was the power utilization curve. It made them seem more powerful than a starship or anything known to us. That ship was constructed for a suicide mission. Since they never intended to return to their home base, they could use 100% power on their attacks. The thing I don't understand is why I didn't think of it earlier.
You might have had something else on your mind.
That hardly seems likely.
No, but thank you anyway.
And you, Sarek, would you also say thank you to your son?
I don't understand.
Well, for saving your life.
Spock acted in the only logical manner open to him. One does not thank logic, Amanda.
Logic, logic. I'm sick to death of logic. Do you want to know how I feel about your logic?
Emotional, isn't she?
She has always been that way.
Indeed. Why did you marry her?
At the time, it seemed the logical thing to do.
That human, yeah. Isn't that crazy that she's so wild like that?
It is funny, too, because, like, this episode ends with, like, everyone is still, like, pretty out of it in the med bay.
Yeah.
Like, they're all kind of like, ugh. It made me think of, like, in Fortnite, like, before you die, when your character is, like, kind of limping along, you know, and you can still be, like, healed or whatever. That's what, like, these guys are all like. They're all kind of, like, just at the, like...
When are they going to add Spock to Fortnite?
I bet they have.
I'm shocked. You know, I was having a thought the other day. This is kind of off topic, but, like, is Fortnite just everything now?
Yeah. Isn't that where before
you got John Cena, Goku, RoboCop, Batman?
Wasn't it K-pop hunters before Rise of Skywalker? That was like
Palpatine.
It was Palpatine was like exclusively revealed in some fucking Fortnite bullshit
canon. I think Fortnite is just the current day equivalent of playing with your action figures. I think, you know,
or Ready Player One.
It's not that elaborate.
Not yet.
I mean, it's cool, but yeah, it's what you do instead of smashing your action figures together. You play as them in Fortnite.
Yeah. Do people still teabag each other? Or wasn't it called that? Wasn't it called that?
Jackie, please have some class.
I'm sorry. Can you play as Goku and teabag John Cena? Well, Maybe.
Only one way to find out.
I guess so. I gotta get into Fortnite.
Teabagging is not the Vulcan way, okay?
We have some other humiliation ritual.
So that's about it. Like, we get a moment where McCoy gets the last word in, which is, shut up. Shut up, all of you.
Yeah, and he's so happy at the end of this episode. Aww. That, like, everyone is shut up. He's like, hey, I finally got the last quip of the episode.
Feels pretty good. I loved that McCoy loved how much just, like, Spock lore we got and how much dirt he got on Spock of, like, a teddy bear, his smile during that moment.
Oh, yeah, McCoy is just like, I have so much ammo for busting balls.
He's like, so Amanda, did Spock ever wet his pants or...
Yeah, he's just like, he took Amanda to side and is like, hey, can you tell me, like, embarrassing Spock stories?
And Amanda's like, of course!
Well, and this is interesting. So this happens early in the episode before they reconcile, but Sarek has that line, even though they haven't spoken in 18 years with each other, he does have that line where it's like, you embarrassed Spock today. That kind of sucked. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like, I may not like my son, but he is a Starfleet officer.
No,
that was
a very sweet moment where Amanda's like, oh, why do you care? That's a human emotion or whatever. He's just like, well, he's a Starfleet officer and that commands respect and you shouldn't embarrass the boy. It's like, you love your son.
Yeah.
You love him.
Again, like, I think Mark Leonard is kind of the acting MVP of this episode. Like, just
he's really
those
good.
Moments.
He does great.
I can't imagine anyone else as Sarek, you know?
Didn't you look this up that, like, afterwards, like, Mark Leonard and Sarek, the character, got, like, so much fan mail?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, really? I saw that, you know, they all got fan mail after every episode. And after this one aired, he got more fan mail than Spock.
Wow.
Leonard Nimoy.
What did I say? The people, we love Spock. We love this shit. And I bet in particular women were like, so Sarek likes human women, huh? About that.
Oh yeah, like Sarek.
So I've got
I am a it. Human woman.
And also he's hot, so but yeah, doesn't surprise me one bit.
And so Bones gets the last word, maybe has a malpractice lawsuit on his hands after dropping his watch into Sarek's spleen, and the Enterprise flies off into another episode. and as does the Apocalypse Video Trekcast. Jackie, where are we going to when we fly into the final frontier of season 3?
Well, we're going to end up in the historic OK Corral in season 3's Spectre of the Gun.
Oh, this sounds like season 3.
Yeah, baby. We're back on the Paramount lot in whatever
whatever set they'll
let us into.
Something tells me we're going to get some Kirk action roles. You know what I mean? Where he
absolutely
rolls around in the dirt.
He will be doing somersaults. He will lose his shirt. It's going to be great.
Maybe a slide.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be covered in dust. It's going to be amazing.
Well, till next time, we'll see you then, partner.
Teddy bear?
Not precisely, Doctor. On Vulcan, the teddy bears are alive. And they have 6-inch fangs.